And now, the show that's all about baseball.
That's when the game, to me, is at its best.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Mass.
Brought to you by Bigelow Tea. I Promise, official eye vitamin of the Boston Red Sox. Bravely zero-turn lawnmowers and window work.
On Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
High to left field up there, and that ball gets over the shelf. That is gone. It's a three-run homer. And that ball is out of the ballpark. Gurriel smokes one. High fly, deep center field. That's into the batter's eye. Simeon with a home run.
This is ridiculous. Uh-oh.
And that ball gets out of here. It's the second three-run homer of the day for Hernandez. 2-1, a high, deep drive, left field, they've gone yard again. This one smacked out of here by Bo Bichette. That ball is gone as well. Biggio with a blast. And Guerrero will crush this one to the opposite field, and that one is gone over the bullpen.
That is absolutely sick. And he says, shh, everybody quiet. This is a line drive to right that goes over the bullpen.
Wow. Two-run shot by Tellez as they have homered for the eighth time, and that is the record for a Red Sox pitching staff surrendering home runs at Fenway Park, eight in one day.
So that's the record.
Yeah, that's the record, all right. Eight home runs in a game at Fenway Park hit by the opposition. I've seen the Red Sox hit eight. Got to go back a long ways. But I've seen the Red Sox hit eight in a game. I've never seen the opposition hit eight in a game, mostly because it hasn't happened. So that's where we're going to start, 617-779-0985. We'll open up the phone lines right away because there is a very obvious question to ask as the Red Sox get their asses kicked day in and day out, and their pitching staff sucks after the MLB report that they were going to cut back on the number of adhesives or type of adhesives that pitchers could use on the mound. So here's the question, and it's not, do you think the Red Sox are using it or have used it? Because of course they have. They all use it. All of baseball uses it. Here's the question. How do they get out of this now? Now what? That's the question. Now what? Talk about a team that is stuck and in the worst possible scenario in the midst of a baseball scandal. And that's the Red Sox. How do they get out of this one? Now what? Why does this team always end up in predicaments that have no solution? Because that's what this one is. And let me lay it out for you. The Red Sox right now, over the last 8 days or 15 days, have the 27th worst ERA in the major leagues. In the last week, they're 29th. Only the Rockies are worse. And the problem is, as baseball cracks down on spider tack and pine tar and whatever other concoction that trainers are coming up with across Major League Baseball. Do you know one of them, Jim Murray, have you heard this? One of the concoctions that pitchers were using on the mound comes from boiled down soda.
Yes. So I'm glad you brought this up because while I was on vacation and reading about this, I saw someone link to a YouTube video where someone made it. And yeah, it involved Coca-Cola, like boiled down Coca-Cola along with some of these other items. And that's how it makes this perfect goo that's almost undetectable, and you can't even really see it once it's on the ball.
You know what? You know what you get when you boil down Coca-Cola? Syrup. Sugar. That's what you get, a tacky adhesive. And this is the problem now. So the real problem, the real problem is not that the Red Sox were using adhesive to get a better grip on the ball and increase spin rate. The real problem is that they needed it. That's the problem. They needed it. And so the Red Sox are very sensitive to this particular issue that they need the adhesive to pitch. Alex Cora is asked about it, says not related. Martin Perez is asked about it, said not related. And we'll play the sound, the comments that they made at Fenway Park over the weekend. And there are a lot of angles to this story, the most obvious of which is that the Red Sox have had this year an overachieving staff of middle-of-the-rotation starters at best who have pitched well for them, and they've been able to bridge the gap to closer Matt Barnes and win a lot of baseball games. And as soon as MLB announces that they are going to crack down on the liberties pitchers throughout the game, not just here in Boston, are taking with the baseballs, the Red Sox, like a lot of teams, have gone cold turkey. But the problem is, relative to other clubs who have a higher baseline in talent, the Red Sox need it. They need it. I don't think their pitchers are good enough to be able to win without being able to increase their spin rate and augment their talent by, call it whatever you want, 5%, 10%. There's a tipping point in there somewhere, as is the case with everything, that when you increase your performance by 5% or 10%, it's enough to put you over the top. And as I said today, you know what the difference is between a 230 hitter and a 280 hitter in Major League Baseball? Five hits every 100 at-bats. 5%.
Even if you used it, Maz, and just had one good game, it's enough to screw with your head. I mean, it's, no, especially baseball players, out of all the professional athletes, they're the most nuts, right? Like, and have their own superstitions, and they want to stick with everything to make, you know, whatever the hell makes it work, right? Whether you're a hitter or a batter, but especially a pitcher. If you had one or two good starts with this stuff, why would you give it up? And now that it's been taken from them, it's going to make them mental.
And so again, Murray, now what?
Right. So I think I think the now what is head down, hammer through. And that is, you know, it's eventually going to get better for some of these guys, but they're never going to get back to where they were on this sticky goo. So they got to relearn to pitch without it. And these first few games, I think what you're seeing is it's going to be, an adjustment period.
Okay. So this is the part that worries me, Murray, because I liked the fact that we were having a baseball season this year here in Boston.
Right. So this could go south quickly.
And not just because we have to do a program here every night from 6 to 7, and I say have to. I like doing this show. Okay, I like doing this show. I wish the Red Sox were more of a topic of conversation at this point than they have been. I wish that they'd been more consistent here over the last couple of years. I wish that baseball hadn't suffered and slipped.
No, overall, they've been a good story so far this year, and you know, an overachieving team, and it's felt like, oh, okay, all right, you have something here. But now, over this last week, and since this story came out, oh boy.
Yeah, and look, I'm putting our producer, Jimmy Stewart, on the spot here. Jimmy, Cora was asked last week again about the penalties that are going to come down from MLB when pitchers are caught on the mound with adhesives. And he was asked specifically whether fines and suspensions were going to be imposed on managers. If we could grab that sound, because again, I think it's worthy of it, and I buried the lead. You have a manager that was just suspended for a year for being involved in one of the biggest cheating scandals in the history of the sport. So naturally, the Red Sox, I think, are going to go into their clubhouse as soon as MLB says they're going to crack down on this, whether it's Chaim Bloom, Cora himself, Dave Bush, the pitching coach, whoever it is going to go to the pitchers and say, cut the crap. We've got to stop because we can't get Alex suspended. If Cora gets suspended, it's over. It's over. And this is akin to, Adam Jones said this last week while you were away, Murray, and it's true, and Felger repeated it today, but Jones was the first one I heard say it, when he said this is like Deflategate with Belichick. The Patriots had to steer him clear of it. They couldn't let that thing touch Belichick, so it all fell on Brady. The Red Sox have to take the same approach with Cora.
Totally.
And so again, this is Johnny Miller of WBZ AM last week, and thank you, Jimmy, for grabbing that. John Miller of WBZ AM last week asking Cora, and Johnny, for those of you who don't know, has cerebral palsy. But Johnny asked Cora about whether fines and suspensions would be levied on the managers if pitchers were caught with substances. Here was the exchange.
As far as you know, will managers be fined or suspended?
I don't know. I don't think it's in the manager's hands. I think it's more the player. So, like I said, until we get the information, I'm not sure how it's going to work out.
Okay, so you hear Cora say right there, I think it's the player's hands, not the manager's. Yet I'm among those who believe, that if you really want to curtail this thing, you suspend managers and pitching coaches and even GMs. You want to put an end to something in baseball? You make sure the leadership is held accountable, because then they'll go down in their clubhouse and they say, fellas, no. Find another way. And you know what the problem is? The Red Sox might not be able to, because they think their pitchers need it. And so, again, I bring you back to the question of the day. Now what? Now what? How do you get out of this? Because you have pitchers that probably need some help out there. Not probably, they do. And you have a manager that probably wants to give it to them, but can't. And so the performance is going to suffer. What other conclusion can you come to at this rate when the story comes out in Sports Illustrated, again, about 10 days ago, outlining the frequency and the depths to which major league pitchers are now going to use substances on the mound to increase their grip and spin rate, and the drop in performance of Red Sox pitchers and really pitchers across the game. But here it's been more acute. And you know why it's been more acute? Because their baseline of talent is a little lower, and that means they need it. They need it. Their pitchers need the stuff. That's the part that should scare you. Nick's in Walpole. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, guys. How's it
going? Good. What do you got?
I think the Red Sox are just simply lucky that they have made it this far and not had a fall off in their performance. I mean, whether they were using this stuff or not, it was bound to happen eventually. This pitching staff is just not that good.
Okay, but Nick, don't you think that this drop is what we would call precipitous? I mean, do you understand how badly they've pitched since the story came out?
Yeah, I mean, I get that, but I think that's part of it, but the entire league is doing it. So obviously it's not just this stuff. I think it's just the staff is not that talented, and they knew that going into the season. There wasn't a ton of changes from last year.
Okay.
So they just got a little lucky.
I'm sorry to cut you up. This is the part that worries me. This is the part that worries me. This is exactly what I'm saying. You say the baseline of talent is lower, and I say yes, which means they need it more. They need it more. They can't beat the Astros and the Blue Jays without this stuff. And look, maybe that was apparent even with the stuff. They couldn't beat the Astros and the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays, I thought they were going to be more competitive with than Houston. Houston's a good team. They've been to four straight LCSs. The Blue Jays are kind of an up-and-coming team. And they're a young, talented team that a lot of people pick to sort of explode. And they get some real talent in that lineup. They can hit. But, man, what has happened at Fenway Park over the last few days, you want to talk about a disaster? Do you understand the numbers over the last 3 days? The Blue Jays as a team in this series are hitting .383. .383. The OPS is over 1,200. They have 14 home runs in three games. They had 8 homers yesterday, 5 the day before that. It's like freaking T-ball. So, look, I'm not saying the Red Sox have done something any different than what any team in Major League Baseball is doing. I think they're doing what other teams do. I think they're all doing it. I do. I just think that their performance was aided by it more. And now, you know, and again, the only teams that I can put in the same category, the Astros because of their cheating scandal, and the Tigers because they have A.J. Hinch as a manager. Everyone else, the manager can kind of get suspended, and yeah, there'll be, and I'm not saying it's even going to happen that way because it's not, but there will be a certain stigma attached to the organization when other guys get popped. For Houston, Boston, and Detroit, much, much worse. Much, much worse. Those teams have to play it a lot closer to the vest and a lot tighter. And if you want to say, well, that's their fault, you're right. You're right. The kind of thing that happened to Alex Cora in Houston, you never really outrun it. Just like Bill Belichick never really outran Spygate or Deflategate or any other gate. And Cora's not going to outrun this one. I just don't know. I don't know what the Red Sox do now. I hope that somehow, some way, they figure another way for their pitchers to get back to what they were. Because I do think the adhesive is a factor. I do. We'll tell you exactly what Cora said over the weekend when asked about this when we return on the Baseball Hour.
Fastballs, curveballs, and breaking balls. The Baseball Hour on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
New name, same old Mass.
I know that's a big word the Red Sox like to use.
It's the Baseball Hour with Tony Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Alex, because of the league's crackdown on substances, every pitcher is under a microscope. Do you think that's impacting your guys at all over the last week?
I don't think so. No, I don't believe so. I think, you know, obviously the talk will be out there. Everybody will be looking at the scoreboard and who's pitching. And if you give it up, you know, then, you know, you were using something your last start. But before that, a lot of pitchers were giving it up. So I know the league is doing a good job with this stuff, and they're going to come down with a memo, but I don't think struggling has to do with stuff, you know. Those guys are really good too, and we have made a lot of pitches right down the middle lately, and they're taking advantage of them.
Alex, just to follow up on John's question, this has all come about after the league made it obvious or made it clear that they were going to start cracking down. You don't see any relation to what, you know, to those two things?
No, I just see the relation that we're leaving a lot of pitches right down the middle, and those guys are taking advantage of it.
It's Alex Cora over the weekend. He's the subject of the Mass General Hospital sound clip of the day. At Mass General, your health and safety are their highest concern, so do not delay your preventative screenings and follow-up care. For information on in-person and virtual care, visit massgeneral.org. Again, massgeneral.org. With the pandemic, a lot of people put off a lot of that stuff. Mass General encourages you to make your appointments. Go and see your doctors. Make sure you do all the things you haven't been doing or haven't been able to do for the last year plus. So anyway, that's Alex Cora again, and you can understand why Cora is going to take the approach he's taking. Nope, we're not concerned about this. Nope, we don't think it's related to super tack or pine tar or any other adhesive that allows us to increase spin rate. And this kind of irritates me too, Murray. And then we'll get back to the phones. Like, all baseball has done is shove spin rate down our throat for the last two, three, however many years. Spin rate, spin rate, spin rate. Yep, he's got a good spin rate. It's about curveballs and spin rate on fastballs. Spin rate. And so I think a lot of this is analytics driven.
Oh, I think it's mostly to blame is analytics. And so if you had to pick someone, you know, one of the people in charge, whether it's Cora or Chaim Bloom in the collection of nerds, I ultimately go with Bloom in the collection of nerds. And I know that, you know, like in Cora's case, I mean, you know, look, he's ultimately like the stopgap, and I know he's got a lot to lose given the recent history of cheating, but this has been business as usual throughout the league for a while, so in a lot of ways, he's going along to get along, and so people would argue, well, shouldn't he put a stop to it? But what, he's going to step in and cost a pitcher money on his next deal? He's not going to do that. It's these nerds that want the spin rate. They've been the impetus for this whole damn thing.
Yeah, look, again, lots of teams are doing it. That Sports Illustrated story, the Dodgers have shown the biggest increase in spin rate. And they have Trevor Bauer on their staff, who's probably one of the biggest abusers of the stuff out there, as is Gerrit Cole. But there are guys littered all over the major leagues. The difference is those guys have a higher baseline of talent. So there's, you know, I don't want to say there's less to gain, but I think there is. As good as Cole has been, and we gave you some of the numbers last week, Gerrit Cole strikeouts per nine innings, starting on or about the time he started using adhesive based on reports, his strikeouts per nine have gone up 50%. He's gone from like 8.5 to 12.5. It's crazy. So if you think that a little bit of a tick up in performance can affect the outcome, oh, it can. And Red Sox pitchers had a lot to gain. So let's see how this thing goes. They got to find a way to stay out there and compete. I joke about it, but I say, give me some sort of transparent glue or cut the ball or do something, because otherwise this season could go down the toilet. I really believe that. Ryan's in a truck. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hey, Tony. I was thinking it's funny. Oh, what I actually said, the way he says these things, like, oh, that's a record the other night. He's the best. But it's funny. Martin Perez is complete ass. That he does not throw eight shutout innings without cheating. Usually I'd say you need proof of the cheating, but he's cheating. And then I know baseball is not like a regular job, but in any job, your job as manager is to supervise your staff. And when crap rolls downhill, it is your fault and it is on you. So sorry, Cora. Sorry, Sox. But they're going to, like you said, dig themselves out of this mess because it's ugly.
So Ryan, here's how I look at the Alex Cora situation. I feel very similar as the way I did with Bill Belichick. Your reputation is on you. Your reputation's on you. So when people start coming and start saying, well, what's going on? Are you guys cheating again? The only reason they say that is because you got popped the first time. We're not saying it about, you know, most other managers in the big leagues, even though they've probably, are well aware of the kind of nonsense that goes on behind the scenes, and they've done a lot of it, many of them. So A.J. Hinch is going to get it. Alex Cora is going to get it, and the Astros are going to get it. But I don't know. Aaron Boone with the Yankees, are people going to say, well, you've cheated before? No, because he doesn't have that reputation. So that is the real penalty from something like that, is that if you get caught, your reputation is destroyed. So that when there is doubt, you don't get the benefit of the doubt. That's the penalty. So you can talk all you want about the year suspension and everything else. The real penalty is your credibility is gone. It's gone. So whether Cora is or isn't standing in the way of his pitchers doesn't matter in the court of perception and public opinion. Does not matter. I wanted Cora back. I'm glad he's here. I think he's a good manager. But if this thing spirals, he's not going to get anybody defending him, including me. Because at the end of the day, how do you possibly, you know, ignore the fact that the Red Sox have a bunch of middle end of the rotation guys who performed above their ceilings this year or at their ceilings this year? And as soon as the Sports Illustrated story comes out about MLB cracking down on adhesives on the mound, the Red Sox have gone belly up. Hey, it's a alarming, what's the word I'm looking for, Murray? Coincidence. Oh, that's convenient. Tom's in Quincy. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, what's up, boys? So listen, my issue with this whole thing is the sport of Major League Baseball leaves it open and encourages this type of behavior. I mean,
not anymore.
Baseball, my whole life, pitchers have been doing something to the ball. Now it's getting to the point where it is negatively impacting the game to the point where it's not unwatchable. You know what? I just open the floodgates. Let the batters juice up. Give them some Adderall. They'll focus on the ball and let the pitchers do whatever they want. That's all I got.
Yeah, so, Tom, the problem is, as always, baseball lets it get out of control before they do something.
A stupid sport can't get out of its own way.
It's really true, though, Murray. And again, this is if you the one pattern you see with baseball and all these things, they wait too long before they actually act. Look at all of their scandals over the years, if you want to talk about it. The steroid scandal. Had they nipped it in the bud early on.
Oh, it never becomes a big thing.
Had they been proactive about it, it wouldn't have exploded into what it is. And by the time they reacted, the game was a joke. Okay, and I would say even last year, there's a pandemic going on, and they couldn't figure out the labor discussions between the union and ownership.
Right, that was a bad one, too.
I mean, so by the time they figured it out, it was too late. They just damaged the game publicly. And I honestly, I don't think the game has recovered from it. So even though we're more interested here this year than we thought we would be, Red Sox ratings are way down. They're still down. Compared to where they were in 2019, they're almost half. You know, so maybe 60%. I mean, they were in the fives in 2019. Now they're in the mid threes. And whose fault is that? It's the game's fault because they never, ever react to anything until it's too late. Max is in a truck. Go ahead, Max.
Hey, what's up, guys? So at the beginning of the year, I was really worried about the pitching staff. And then when the pitching, you know, was good, I'm like, there's got to be something going on. Like, they must be using something because this pitching staff is not that good. And you would have thought Cora would have learned from cheating when he was with the Astros and Red Sox, but I guess he didn't. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Yeah, so again, it's not this. See, this isn't exclusively a Cora thing, though, because I'll ask the same question I asked earlier, and I'll ask Murray and Jimmy Stewart. If someone else were the manager of this team, would this still be going on?
Probably.
Yes!
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. Jimmy, what about you?
100%.
I think it absolutely would be going on with another manager. So, again, because remember.
And it's not just to save Cora's ass, too. I think it's to save, you know, Major League Baseball doesn't want any big scandals, and they're trying to get out in front of this whole damn thing. Because if this happened with the Red Sox and Cora, with what happened with him and the Astros, now it becomes a big scandal. So I have to believe that. So, like, this article comes out with SI. Videotape of the pitchers and balls have been confiscated. It's all been analyzed. So I would think the league figured out who the big offenders were, Red Sox, with this collection of bums who were all of a sudden pitching their asses off. And they called the Red Sox and some of the teams that were bad and said, look, cut it out before we get a crackdown. And like, they want to get ahead of it.
Murray, I think they put everybody on notice. I think they put everybody on notice. Trevor Bauer and the Dodgers were put on notice early. I think Gerrit Cole, I'm sure, was put on notice. I think it was all across the game. I think the Red Sox just have a staff that needs it more than other teams do. I do. I really believe that because if you look at their guys, they're not that good. They're not horrible. They're functional, decent big league pitchers. But they're not as good as they were pitching. And I know the Red Sox are going to say, well, we were, you know, managing the matchups, limiting the exposure. And they'll also tell you that these guys get worse as the workload piles up. They're not built for the long haul. All of those things are probably true, by the way. But it's also true that they needed help. And when I say that this would have gone on even if Cora wasn't here, well, think about it. All the analytics guys do, and again, I'm throwing Bloom in this, not to say that Bloom's a cheater, but I'm saying the way the business is done in the league. Bloom's an analytics guy. Let's look at a guy's spin rate. Wow, he's got a good spin rate on this pitch. Can we find a way to harness that? And then you bring him in and say, well, look, you can actually increase it a little bit more if you grip the ball with this stuff. And so that's how the whole thing snowballs. And I just think the Red Sox have a staff that of guys that needs grip enhancement, for lack of a better, don't we all, Murray? Yeah. Not to get preverted, but you know what I mean. So, and I just think that they have that kind of staff. So, oh, it's a killer. That, I told you, the worst part of the whole thing, they need it. They need it. That's the part I'm trying to drill into people's heads. Oh, my God, I can't believe they cheated. You idiots, they wouldn't be in it if they weren't cheating. This is the whole point. Like, and let's stop being, let's stop being, remaining aghast when we hear that they might have been using it or they have been using it. Come on. Let's not delude ourselves. But the scary part is they need it. That's the scary part. What's going to happen when you take it away? Now, there are a couple of other things that spin off of this, a couple of other storylines that spin off of this. One is something that we talked about earlier this year. The other is how the Red Sox have reacted to the events over the weekend at Fenway Park. We'll touch on both of those, but first, Murray will get you caught up on headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Talking baseball with Tony Mass.
This is the Red Sox we're talking about.
It's the Baseball Hour on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ooh, grilled him, and down goes Kike, and a helmet goes flying. And is he okay?
Whoa.
Man, did that get away? That was a 96-mile-an-hour fastball.
Oh.
He is up. Cora is out.
He is stunned right there.
Wow.
That ball was so far inside.
Boy, this
I don't know.
Scary.
This is came out of nowhere. This pitch was just absolutely launched
on the helmet. Goodness gracious.
Wow.
Checking for blood.
Check this out. I mean, this ball was up and in way behind him.
Oof.
Ooh, right. Luckily, he has that flap in front of his mouth.
And the flap helped him
it
big
did.
Time.
Look at this. The flap. How can you not wear a flap after watching this? I mean, my goodness, right off his jaw it would have been.
And he's staying in the game.
Nowhere to go. I mean, that's where you go backwards. You can't go anywhere.
Wow.
Wow.
Staying in.
That was on Saturday, if you missed that. Enrique Hernandez in the batter's box. Anthony Castro on the mound for the Blue Jays. 96-mile-an-hour fastball hits him, basically would have hit him right in the face.
Would have cracked his jaw. That flap definitely saved him.
And you heard
from injury.
Yeah, and you heard, Murray, you didn't happen to see, were away, right?
But I saw the clip because it was all over social media.
So. Okay, so I'll tell you, it was scary. I mean, it was, and Enrique Hernandez, for people who don't remember or don't notice or... He wears the kind of flap on the side of his helmet like Giancarlo Stanton wears. Stanton wears that flap because he once got beamed. And so he then started wearing a flap over his mouth and jaw area so he can see still, but it protects the side of his face and his cheekbone in the event of a fastball that comes up there. Kike Hernandez wears one. This guy Castro, and if you watch the replay, it was not a tailing fastball that went up and in. It left the guy's hand straight for Enrique Hernandez's head. Straight for it. And I'm not saying he did it on purpose. In fact, I don't think he did it on purpose, which is further reason why you should be worried about it, which I'll tell you in a second. But the ball would have caved in his cheekbone, would have caved it in, but he had the flap covering his face, and then he ended up staying in the game. He was fine. So how does this relate to the whole Pine Tar Super Tech story? One of the theories, one of the long-held explanations for why adhesives were allowed in baseball is because hitters felt, well, the pitchers will have better control, fewer guys will get hit. I would tell you that this year pitchers have been using it and more guys are getting hit than ever before. So I don't think it has anything to do with guys getting hit or not getting hit. I think it almost 100% benefits the pitcher. 100%. And so the idea that you need it for control is wrong because there are a million ways to fix that. Murray, why don't they just make a baseball with a tacky cover? You ever think of that?
Yeah.
How about that?
Well, that'll be the next thing that they eventually do.
Instead of the ball being so slick, just make the cover a little tackier. Or, you know, again, so they allowed just the adhesive thing's gotten out of control. But given what we know now and the things we can do now, just change the cover of the ball.
Well, didn't the NFL, in a sense, kind of do this? Because they ended up banning the substance they used to put on their hands and gloves. The Stick'Em. And now, years later, they now manufacture and allow these gloves that are essentially the same thing.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And those gloves, by the way, if you've ever put them on, are unbelievable.
You feel like Spider-Man.
I was just going to say that, Mario. You feel like you could scale the side of a building. Yeah. It is. It's unbelievable. Like you do. You feel like Spider-Man. It's unbelievable. So there are ways around that, is my point. But the Enrique Hernandez thing, on top of it all, Castro ended up getting pulled from the game. He's another guy. He's your classic guy that every team's taking a chance on now. The Blue Jays claimed him off of waivers. He throws 96, doesn't know where it's going. But he airs it out on every pitch. Someone got drilled in the head. And the game's really gone to hell. It has. Andrew's in Taunton. Go ahead, Andrew.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
I'm just heard you guys talk about kind of like the old like spin rate and everything like that. And I mean, I was like pretty nervous going into the season with their pitching staff and like how like the Red Sox have been such a laughing stock the last couple of years. And this was like really encouraging to see them like playing well. And then now with all this coming out the past weekend and like the last week, I'm like pretty concerned. Like I'm just worried. Like, oh boy, like look out below. Like, and like the summer's coming too. You know, the ball's going to be an even hit, even like flying off the bats harder. And I'm just worried Lansdowne's about to just get absolutely peppered.
Yeah. So look at, but yeah, again, a perfect timing for the Red Sox, right? Bruins get bounced, Celtics get bounced. People are ready to start watching baseball a little bit. They suck again. It's perfect timing. Tony's in Stoneham. Go ahead, Tony.
Hey guys, how are you? Good show as usual. Tony, let me tell you my source. My source is saying this: it's Cora who stopped it on the Red Sox for this reason. They were doing it, and if you remember, the beginning of the year, the relief pitcher said, "I want to be the closer this year," because his spin rate is off the charts. And when Cora heard all the BS being talked about it, he stopped it so he didn't get caught again.
Yeah, so Tony, you have a good source on that?
Yeah, I do have a good source on it, but I don't divulge sources over the phone.
No, you shouldn't know. A good reporter ties with his sources. Yeah, and I don't mean that as any sort of ill will or ill wish to you, as you know. I'm just telling you, take it to your grave with you. I'll do the same. Right? That's sort of the whole idea. So, you know, Cora knows what he's doing. Okay, he's no fool. So Cora knows what you can get away with and what you can't, what's crossing the line and what's not. At least he does now. He might not have a couple of years ago or a few years ago, clearly. But I would think that a guy who has had a suspension like Cora had and the shame and indignity that he has had to experience as a result of it. And by the way, he wasn't the only one doing it down there, but that's a story for another day. They did a pretty good job down there pinning it on him, and they didn't think that they would. They thought they might get away with it with just him, and as it turned out, they all lost their jobs. But that aside, Cora's no fool, and he's he's not innocent either. So let's not say that. But I do think if you get popped, I do think you're going to be careful the next time around if you get another chance. I'd like to think, although sometimes people can't break their habits, they are who they are. In this particular case, you get a second lease on life. You start to, you know, make a good salary again and earn a living, and you're going to lose your job over something stupid. Although, again, I told you the most worrisome part, it might not be that stupid because I think they need it.
The show that's all about baseball. The Baseball Hour. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.